Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it.
To the God that does all things well, and we're thankful to him that allows us to come to worship spirit and in truth. We are indeed grateful for the opportunity to worship the way that we are, and we should never take these opportunities for granted. I do want to say from the onset that it is humbling to be a part of a worship service that is so serious. And I guarantee you that you probably won't experience that everywhere. And for that, we ought to be thankful. And when we consider even the theme this year, the triumph of truth, and the theme this month, the simplicity that is in Christ, that is the idea there. And the reason why is because of that great word, simplicity. When we consider the idea of simplicity, I want to give us a few definitions that simplicity brings out. When you consider 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3, where Paul highlights this particular idea here, when he says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ," the New King James translation renders. When you think about that word there, it's the idea of singleness of mind, liberality, bountifulness. I love this definition here, mental honesty. Friends, I want us to consider that. I want us to be thinking about that. Mental honesty. The virtue of one being free from pretense and hypocrisy. One who doesn't double deal. One who is good or whole. When we consider this particular word in this context, Paul here is really highlighting this idea. And he really wants to get the Christians in Corinth to see this. And the reason why is because these brethren here were questioning Paul's authority, his apostleship. Did he really have the authority to be who he was and to say what he has said and to demand the things that he has demanded? I find it very interesting that when we consider some of the scriptures and how those scriptures are being used as it relates to the simplicity that is in Christ. In Romans chapter 8, let's take a perusal through the scriptures before we really get into the meat of the lesson. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 8, notice how this word is translated in the New King James translation. In Romans 12 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives," here's our word, "with liberality." There's our word right there, liberality. Notice 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 12. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 12, we find something also very interesting in how this word is translated and how it is used. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 12, notice how Paul uses this word. "For our boasting is this,
the testimony of our conscience, that we conduct ourselves, notice, in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity. The word simplicity is the idea of not double dealing. When you think about this, friends, it's very interesting how he finishes that particular verse. He says, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. In other words, I'm not using the doctrines of men. I'm not using my own folly, my own wisdom in order to get my point across and how I'm dealing with you. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 5. Notice how this word is being used. And it's important for us to understand this because this word is not used often in the New Testament. However, it is so powerful and it ought to give us cause to pause. And the more I've been thinking about it, and I told y'all on Wednesday how excited I was in studying this with y'all because it has caused me to think about even my own mindset. And what the beauty of studying, because you get to see who you really are. But in verse number 5, notice what the Bible here says. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Here's our word right here, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. And so you see the idea here that's being used, that one needs to be honest. One needs to have a mental honesty without hypocrisy, without pretense. But then Jesus would use this word. Notice Luke chapter 11. And the reason why we're not going to Matthew 6 verse 22 is because it is the same idea in Luke chapter 11. But I believe that Luke chapter 11 verse 34 through 36 actually brings it out better than Matthew 6 verse 22. Take notice of the scriptures here. Here in Luke chapter 11, starting at verse number 33, notice what the Bible here communicates to us. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. Watch this. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is, here's our word, good. Now stop and think about that, because we're talking about mental honesty. We're talking about virtue. We're talking about being free from pretense. We're talking about being free from hypocrisy. Jesus uses this particular word right here, the same word that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3. He says, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, literally it is corrupted. It is full of evil. It is unhealthy. It is not clear. Your body is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you. Now, notice the words that Jesus used here. He says that the light which is in you is darkness. Now, to think about that, Brother Brian, light being dark. That's a very interesting concept that Jesus uses here that's worthy of our consideration. Verse 36. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. When you consider what Jesus is saying here, and you think about the interest of people. What interest is people? What interests us? When we consider that no part dark, when my eyes are full of light, then there is no room for darkness. We have this idea, and people, they say crazy things sometimes. Well, we're all sinners. We all sin. That's true in one sense, but it can't be true when it comes to what is my interest. Is my interest sinning, or is my interest doing the will of God? And so there's the distinction right there, because even when I sin against God, 1 John 1 and verse number 9, I confess my sin. My interest is to actually do the will of God, not my own thing. And so when you think about Eve and how Eve transgressed the will of God because Satan beguiled her, deceived her, tricked her, therefore her interest changed. It no longer was God, it was now pleasing herself and eating of the fruit. Friends, I want us to ponder that, because when we think about that, that's a very interesting concept that Jesus uses here, and he talks about the lamp, which is the eye. And whatever goes into the eye goes into the mind, and the mind begins to formulate thoughts and pictures and ideas and concepts. And the next thing you know, we find ourselves either doing that which is right or doing that which is not right. But then we see that Jesus uses, or this idea is used with Jesus in Matthew 27, verse 29, in the plaiting of the thorns that was on his head. And so these ideas are seen, but also we see the idea of simplicity being used all over the book of 2 Corinthians. Y'all stay with me here. I find it very interesting that Paul is using the simplicity that is in Christ. He's talking about those things that are clear. He's not talking about ambiguity, and we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But he's talking about that which is clear, that which can be proven, that which can be easily seen. Take another perusal with me through the scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3, Paul says something very interesting to the brethren about God and who he is. He's the God of all comfort. God is the God of all comfort. That's clear. We know that. That can be proven. Why? Because the same comfort that God gives the Corinthians, he wants them to give to one another. In chapter 2 and verse number 7, you remember the brother that sinned against his father's wife, taking his father's wife. He repented of that. The next thing you know, Paul is telling them, forgive this brother. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse number 7, forgiveness is in God's will. Friends, do you know that God wants to forgive all men? That's clear in the scriptures, and you don't need just one passage to demonstrate that. In chapter 3, verses 7 through 18, there's no doubt that the law of Moses is done away with, and our image is in the image of Christ. Now, here's the point and why I want to use these passages, because there are some, even amongst us sometime, that believe that we're under the law of Moses. Friends, we're not under the law of Moses. Jesus, when he died on the cross, Colossians 2 and verse number 14, Ephesians 2, 11 through 14, nailed the old law to the cross. We're not under the law of Moses. We're under the law to Christ. That's a fact that can be clearly demonstrated with the word of God, which means that when we consider the simplicity that is in Christ, the clearness that is in Christ, we can clearly demonstrate that we are not to listen to Moses, but Brother Brian, listen to Jesus. That can be clearly demonstrated. This is how this word is being used, if you will. In chapter 4, he demonstrates in verse number 17 about our light affliction. It's but for a moment. The things that we're going through, even right now in 2021, it may be a little bit difficult, even as members of the Lord's church, the church of Christ. But friends, it's just for a short period of time. Romans 8, verse 18. In chapter 5 and verse number 10, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's clearly taught. In chapter 6 and 7, it's associating with idolatry and how it stunts our spiritual growth in Christ. In chapter 8 and verse and chapter 9, it directly deals with the grace of God and giving. I love how Brother Chad made a distinction between the giving and the Lord's Supper. Thank you. And I love how he made it so clear. Friends, think about this. Brother Chad actually demonstrated the simplicity that is in Christ by clearly demonstrating, by using the first day of the week and how we have 52 first days of the week. And he made the distinction between the two. And then he drew out how those in denominationalism use giving 52 days a week, by way of command, but not 52 days a week by the Lord's Supper. Isn't that what you said? The Bible clearly demonstrates that. That's the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. And when preaching is not clear like that, friends, you're not preaching. And the more I thought about this, the more I thought about just coming up here giving the invitation, because through Brother Paul's prayer, through the great singing and the great messages that was given with the Lord's Supper and the giving, preaching has already been done. Wow. You want to see what, you know why I say why we're so blessed here? And that's how preaching ought to be. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 12, we use great plainness of speech. Plainness, the King James rendering uses boldness. You look at that word, it's plainness of speech. Brother Jason, when you're preaching, use plain speech. When people leave our preaching, they ought to know exactly what we have said. Not walk out guessing, what did he say? What did he mean? And I hope, pray, and trust that that is never the case when this pulpit is occupied. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, Paul clearly demonstrates that the war we're fighting is a spiritual war, not a fleshly war. And these are facts that Paul was dealing with. And no wonder he says in verse number 3, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing, watch it now, that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Paul, what are you teaching? That God clearly teaches that our fight is a spiritual fight. We're not taking up guns to take care of a spiritual battle. We use words, and we use the word of God. If I want to use a gun in order to take care of a physical battle, that's one thing. But if I'm taking care of a spiritual battle, I got to use the word of God, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And so it causes me to think about those clear passages. And friends, there's clarity that we have in Christ. Let me show you a few things that the Bible clearly demonstrates. You see it up on the screen there. One body in Christ. The Bible clearly teaches that there is one body, Ephesians 4, verse 4 and 5. One body, Colossians 1 and verse number 18. The body is the church, which demonstrates to us the church of Christ. The Bible clearly demonstrates that. That's the simplicity that is in Christ. We're sanctified in Christ. It's interesting. There's simplicity in Christ, meaning clearness in Christ. The body is in Christ. There is sanctification in Christ. We're caused to triumph, meaning that we are victorious in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. The promise of eternal life is in Christ. I think this is my favorite. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, salvation, deliverance from sin is in Christ. Turn to Galatians chapter 3, the next book over. And notice what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse number 26. I want to use that in Christ idea, that in Christ idea. Friends, he says, for you are all the sons of God through faith. Where? In Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ. That's how you get into Christ. Those of us, y'all who may be visiting with us, you get into Christ through baptism. Have put on Christ. Notice how one puts on Christ. They're baptized into Christ. That's how you put on Christ. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one, notice where, in Christ. Doesn't matter what your skin color may be, doesn't matter where you are from. If you have been baptized into Christ, if you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're a member of the Lord's church, you are in Christ Jesus. But notice what being in Christ affords us. Verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Friends, did you get that? Brothers and sisters in Christ. we see something very powerful, that the simplicity of the gospel demonstrates to us that I identify with Abraham when I identify with Christ. And so the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis 3, verses 12 and following. Genesis 12, verses 3 and following is the promise that he has given to us, that in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, and we are. But go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want us to take notice of something. Because the brethren were tolerating ambiguity. They were tolerating that which does not identify with single clear meanings. And that's unfortunate. And we live in a postmodern world today. And brethren, when we think about being single in mind, being clear in our focus, being healthy in our thinking, if we're not careful, we can allow sin and brethren and the world, and we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes, to cause us to look at things in an ambiguous way, in a way that's not clear. And that's the world we live in today. And it's unfortunate that even the brethren at this particular time were in this position. Notice, starting at verse number 1, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband." Meaning that when he taught them the gospel in Acts chapter 18, they obeyed the gospel, Crispus' house, and they were betrothed to Jesus Christ. They were his wife. They should not be having their eyes on another man. Why? They have been espoused to Christ. Why? In order for them to be presented as a chaste virgin, one that is unmixed, one that is free from carnality, one that is free from sin. He said, but I fear lest somehow, notice how he brings in what the serpent did in the beginning. And it's something about the serpent, and we've been talking about devil, sin, and hell for the last couple of weeks, and I find it very ironic that when we put this theme together for the years, that it fit right here, Brother Royce, right here. It's very interesting that Paul uses this, friends. Now, pay attention to what he says. He says, I'm fearful lest somehow, as the serpent deceived, beguiled Eve. Eve had a choice. She could have told the serpent, no. Why? Because this would go against God's will. God told us to leave the tree alone. You can eat of every tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so he beguiled her. No part of her mind, soul, will, intellect, emotion was untouched. He touched everything within her mind, causing her to yield. James 1, verse 14 and 15. Every man is drawn away by their own desire, own lust. And next thing you know, we find them walking away from God. Their interest begins to change. It begins to change their motive. It begins to change their thought process. They begin to reason within themselves. Eve was beginning to do this, and she fell to it. And notice what he says. So your minds, can you imagine this being read? You being a member of the church at Corinth, and you being identified with Eve, the one that sinned, the one that fell to the evil one, the one that was beguiled, the one that was deceived, the one that allowed herself to be deceived and beguiled. Can you imagine putting yourself in this position? And the Apostle Paul, with the authority of Jesus Christ, he's saying, I fear that this is happening to you. And so he says, as the serpent deceived Eve by his subtleness, his craftiness. And that's the word that I believe we all need to study. Because the word there is the idea of fallacious arguments. Argumentation that seemed to be true when you first look at it, but under scrutiny doesn't hold water. Fallacious arguments. Here, Satan used a fallacious argument. It seemed to be true, but it wasn't true. And Eve knew that. And Eve fell to it. And she gave it to her husband, the fruit, and he ate of it. He fell for it. Here, when we stop and we consider, the brethren at Corinth was falling for something, because Paul is using these words by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And so I ask myself, Mike, what are you being corrupted by? What are you being corrupted with? What's corrupting your mind? What has gotten into your heart? This is something that all of us have to examine. Because there are so many things around us. There's so much propaganda around us. There are so many different false lifestyles around us that seem right on the outside, but they're not right under biblical scrutiny. And so the brethren were beginning to tolerate the ambiguity. They were beginning to tolerate the false narratives. They were beginning to tolerate the fallacious arguments. And so Paul, he says something very interesting in verse number 4. And it's very striking. And it's very embarrassing. And I bet you it cut them to their heart if their hearts were right. Watch the text. For if he, listen to the language. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. You can put it in your notes, Galatians 1, verses 6 through 8. Or if you receive a different spirit, that's mankind and his words, which you have not received. That's 1 Corinthians 15. Or a different gospel, which you have not accepted. You know how many gospels there are? According to Galatians 1 and verse number 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. Friends, did you get that? There's only one gospel. There's not multiple gospels, which means that as soon as I get away from the word of God, I change the gospel. Here, Eve was fooled by the serpent who beguiled her by adding one word, Brother Estes, thou shalt not surely die. Wow, one word, Brother Jerry? Just one word? Thou shalt not surely die. A series of arguments that he presented before Eve, and she fell for it. And reminded of sometimes as how we are. This is a powerful text right here. And I know I'm not doing it justice, but this is a powerful text that Paul, he says something. If another preacher comes and he preaches a different Jesus, if another man come and he says something different, if someone comes and they preach a different doctrine, a different gospel, you don't have to obey the gospel. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You can believe what you want to believe. It's okay. You can do whatever you want, and God will still accept you. That's a different gospel. That's a different Jesus. He said, notice, you may well put up with it. Brother Chad, you see that? He said, you just might accept it. That's scary. And then Paul says it again. If you would take notice in verse number 19 and verse number 20, he says it again. He says, for you put up with fools gladly, since you yourself are wise, for you put up with it. If one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face to our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. You got to put up with that. And I believe that many have put up with doctrines of demons for too long. Friends, we got to stay with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me be very clear. Let me be very plain in my speech right now. God desires all men to be saved. And in being saved, God wants all men to obey the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. It includes the church of Christ, Acts 8 and verse number 12, which is the kingdom of God. And so Philip, as he preached the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, as clear teaching, it's clear teaching that as a Christian, 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12, we're going to suffer persecution. We're going to go through some hard times. Our identifying with Christ must identify with his suffering, 1 Peter 4 verses 1 and following. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf, 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. That's plain speech right there. It's plain speech that God wants men and women to get married, not men and men and women, that God wants men to have feelings for women and women to have feelings for men, and not men have feelings for men and women have feelings for women. I just cut some folk because sometimes we think that it's okay to have feelings for the same sex. That's not okay. That's not okay. It's only okay to have feelings where God put feelings. And feelings are based upon knowledge. And Paul says, if these people come in with this gospel, you may as well put up with it. And the more I thought about that, I'm like, Mike, what are you putting up with? What are you putting up with? But stop and I think about this. Why has Satan used... What has Satan used to direct our interest away from the Christ? A few things. Is it our frustrations with America? Is it denominational teachings? Is it the postmodern world that we're living in? Your truth and my truth. You know, that's big right now. Well, you do your truth and I do my truth. As if truth resides in us. No, God is truth. The word of God is truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth. Is it my lust and my desires for sin? Is it my laziness? I'm so thankful that we have a congregation of people who are not sitting at home just collecting a check, who are able-bodied people. I don't know of one here. And if we find of one, we're going to talk to you. Because the American way and the Christian way is to work. You shouldn't sit back and collect a check when you're able-bodied people. Received a text message just the other day. Individuals looking for a job. I said, I can't find a job. I said, there's wanted signs everywhere. You hiring? San Angelo to go is always hiring. Here's my point. God wants us to work. And sometimes Satan directs our interests in ways that are away from Christ because of laziness. Our faithfulness to one spouse, faithfulness to the one church, faithfulness to consistent modesty. Great job last week. Our genuineness of mind. God wants us to be genuine. As we looked at this text, it's so important for us to realize, friends, that God doesn't want us to put up with false doctrine, false lifestyle. He wants us to be genuine without hypocrisy, which reminds me as I close of John 1 and verse number 47 with Nathan, who was sitting underneath a tree and Jesus saw him. And he said, and I always seem to put in front of that. I just want to, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Jesus saying that about you, about me? A Christian in whom there is no part dark, no deceit. I ask that you work on the dark that's in you. Because we need to work on it. We need to work on the dark that's in us. And with all of the darkness around us, with all of the lies around us, sometimes we find ourselves becoming sullied, becoming dirty. I know I have. It's embarrassing. And sometimes I think, Brother Dennis, I got to get up here and preach sometimes. When sometimes I probably just want to stay home because of what's going on in there. It don't happen often, but it happens. And it's embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. Not in front of y'all, but with him. Because ultimately, I gotta deal with God ultimately. It's embarrassing. But God, you can use somebody else. You can use somebody else. You probably need to use somebody else. Sometimes, friends, sometimes it's just hard. And studies like this, when you find nuggets of truth like this that deal with the genuineness and the mental honesty that a person should have, you could tell a lot about a person and how genuine they are when truth is presented. Because when a person wants to do the will of God, nothing's going to stop them from doing it. And so, I'll end with this. You see it up there. How is our mind? Are we simple? Are we honest? When truth is presented to us, whether it's at home, on the job, here, or when we're reading, how mentally honest am I? I hope that we are. Because those are the ones that's going to be with God. There's an old saying, you can fool some of the people most of the time. You can fool yourself some of the time, but you can fool God none of the time. Because God is not mocked. I ask that y'all pray for me. I need it. When we stop and we think about mental honesty and just being genuine, being transparent, God wants us to be like his son. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to have a simple mind, an honest mind, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Be willing to confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be willing to be buried in water for the remission of your sins. That's how you receive remission of sins, when you do what God has said. I know man is saying a lot of things out there, and they're muddy in the water, but Jesus is the one that's offering the salvation. He ought to know what it takes to be saved. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Well, my preacher doesn't say that. What did Jesus say? Maybe you're a child of God and you're allowing false doctrine to be permeated in your mind. You're thinking about things that the Bible doesn't teach. I promise you, if you put up with it, you'll fall to it. You got to constantly be reading and studying the Word of God for yourself. Don't believe it because Bonner said it. Don't believe it because Brian said it. Believe it because God said it. Because ultimately, when it's all said and done, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer to the things you've done in his body, whether it be good or bad. It's all about what he says. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.